Our position by position preview series continues with a look at the wide receivers. Take a look at what Jordy Nelson and company is doing. We welcome on Jacob Westendorf of todayspigskin.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready to preview minicamp, and our position-by-position preview series continues today. And we have a guest joining us on the phone.
Expert interview.
We have Jacob Westendorf of todayspigskin.com. Jacob, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Brian. Thanks for having me. Longtime fan of the show, first time guest, so excited to be here.
Well, thanks for saying that, and glad I could repay the favor. I was with you on your podcast, and in fact, why don't we start with that? To tell our listeners about yourself, the podcast you do. Tell me about todayspigskin.com. I don't even know much about the site. I think it's a little bit new, isn't it?
It is relatively new. Actually, it's starting to grow quite a bit. I'm starting to see Bleacher Report Team Stream is starting to run our articles on there. So I've seen some of my stuff, some of the other guys we have there. It's run by Ryan Wooden. It's a branch of FanRagSports.com. Today's Pigskin is the football website. We've got Today's Fast Break, which is basketball. We've got Today's Knuckleball, which is baseball, which just recently added John Heyman. So that kind of tells you the direction that this whole website is. I'm also still affiliated with Cheesehead TV to some degree. Jason Perrone and I run Pulse of the Pack. We're on a small hiatus, but should be back here either this weekend or next with training camp around the bend here. So we've been running that for probably about 6 months or so as a rebrand. Originally, that show was run by myself and Marcus Eversole when I was at Wisconsin Green Bay. So I've been affiliated with Cheesehead TV /PackersTalk.com for probably about 3-4 years now. So that's me in a nutshell. What are we doing today? What are we talking Packers for?
We're talking wide receivers. So let's get down to it here, Jacob. Starting with the main man himself, Jordy Nelson, the question I have for you, I guess, to start the conversation is, do you think Jordy Nelson is going to be ready to practice full-time at the start of training camp, or do you think the Packers will play it safe? Well, what's going to happen here in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks?
Well, my answer is kind of a cop-out because my answer is yes. I think Jordy Nelson will be ready to practice full-time, but I also think the Packers are going to play it safe. In minicamp, Nelson was talking about how if there was a game Sunday, he was going to play. Now, you're kind of taking him at his word for that. You know, the other guys, Mike McCarthy, the training staff, such have kind of pumped the brakes on him. But you saw last year what happened to the offense without Nelson in the lineup. The Packers know full well, and the rest of the league knows full well, just how good this guy is. They want him to be on the field and productive during the regular season of games that matter. You've heard several times. A lot of the key players have discussed how, you know, they keep calling the preseason meaningless games. Now, I'm not sure if that's sour grapes because one of the best players got hurt in a preseason game, or if they've always thought that now this is just what helped the frustration boil over. But nonetheless, I think you'll see Nelson do some things, but I also think that you'll see him. There's 7 receivers that could conceivably make this roster. Obviously, Nelson is a roster lock, so I think that the Packers may use this camp and preseason as an opportunity to see what the other guys have in terms of an ability to contribute on the field.
Well, let me put the question this way, and you don't have to go into great detail here, but how often do you think Jordy Nelson will play in the preseason games? Because that's where he originally got injured last year. Do you think they're going to hold him out of those totally, or how do you think they'll use him in the preseason?
I would guess that that number is under 25 snaps. I anticipate he wouldn't play in the Hall of Fame game. He probably won't play in the first preseason game. He might play one series at home just to kind of do something for the fans, but that's where I think that Nelson will play, if at all. So I'm not sure that there's a whole lot there for Nelson this preseason. Yeah,
I tend to agree. I think it's going to be rather limited. Maybe toward the end of preseason, they'll ramp him up a little bit. But so Randall Cobb, do you think Randall Cobb will be more effective this season with a healthy Jordy Nelson on the field to take attention away?
I do. I absolutely do. You know, last season we learned that Randall Cobb is not a number one receiver. We probably already knew that in the traditional sense of the word. But it's hard to be a number one receiver when you're a slot receiver. You know, it's just kind of a numbers game. There's already a safety in that area. They've already got another guy in that area for you. It's pretty easy to double there. You can look at another slot receiver in New England. His name is Julian Edelman. And he's not as effective when Rob Gronkowski's not on the field. So that's another example that you can see of needing a guy on the boundary to take away some pressure off of these guys.
Absolutely. That's a good example there with the Patriots. All right. Next guy, Davante Adams. Do you think Davante Adams, to me, he kind of seems has a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde in him. And so which Davante Adams are we going to see this season? Is it going to be Jekyll or Hyde?
Well, maybe I'm naive, but I just don't think that a guy that looked as good at times as Adams did in his rookie season just forgot how to play football. So I know a lot of people are going to be on the Jeff Janis train, and I'm sure we're going to discuss that at some point today, the Packers folk hero. But Davante Adams can still play, I think. I guess the good guy here in this case would be Jekyll, or would it be Hyde for the opposing defenses? I'm not sure. But either way, I've read the stories about how some people think Adams needs a big summer to remain on the roster. I'm not buying that. He's a former second-round pick by Ted Thompson. Typically, those guys can play football. So I think Davante Adams is going to be just fine this season with the role that maybe he's better suited for.
We're talking to Jacob Westendorf of today's pigskin.com here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Jeff Janis, is he going to pick up where he left off in last season's playoff game, or is he going to go back to kind of being this unrealized potential? What's going to happen to him in 2016?
That's the most interesting question of all the wide receivers, because I think Jeff Janis' special teams ability alone makes him a roster lock, because he's an ace as a punt gunner, kickoff guy. He does a little bit of everything on special teams. But offensively, you know, there's a lot of – I mean, even last year we talk about his performance in the playoff game. Two of those plays, there's a line from the longest yard where Cheeseburger Eddie says, "That was just some schoolyard, you can fill in the blank." That's kind of what Janis made his plays on in the playoff game last year. You know, a Hail Mary on a 4th-and-20. Not taking anything away from him, but that's not how you run offense in the NFL. So Janis needs to learn this year to run routes crisply, be in the right spot, all those kinds of things that go into playing offense. If he doesn't do that, then I think you're just going to be talking about a guy that's standing on the sidelines and then coming out and making tackles when they cover punts. But if he can't run a route, then he can't, or if he can't be in the right spot either, then he can't be on the field.
We'll see what happens. Taking a look at Ty Montgomery here, where do you think he fits into the picture? Because I think people's predictions on him are kind of all over the map in terms of, is he a number three wide receiver? Is he number four? Is he number five? And I know that's kind of a general term when you're kind of numbering these guys, but you know, where do you think Ty Montgomery fits in?
All over the place. I think that the Packers will use him on the boundary. I think they'll use him in the slot. I think that you'll see him in the backfield in the Cobra package. I think they'll use him in the slot when Cobb is in the backfield. I think that this is another weapon. A lot of people forget. You know, people point to the Jordy Nelson absence. The offense was actually doing relatively well before Ty Montgomery went down in week 6 against the San Diego Chargers. They were 6-0, humming along on offense, scoring points. There were some signs of struggles, but not the overall ineptitude that we saw for the last 10 games of the season. I think Montgomery is a versatile weapon. The scouting report on him of being a bigger Randall Cobb, I think that's a perfect description. They can use him as a runner. They can use him in the slot. They can use him on the boundary. But I think this year, the Packers may actually do something that I've been clamoring for a while, is if these guys can step up and play, you don't necessarily have the same guys on the field all the time. You know, I watched the film of Super Bowl 45, and, you know, they've got series where they're rotating Jennings and Driver with Jordy Nelson and James Jones. And, you know, Nelson and Driver, or, you know, so two of those four guys aren't even on the field at the same time. And I think that's something that the Packers can look into this season. They got a lot of different weapons. If some of them realize their potential, they can do a lot of different ways and kind of play pick your poison with opposing defense. But I think Ty Montgomery is a big part of that. They didn't select a third down running back or a pass catching running back. I think that is kind of in their plan process there then by reading the tea leaves.
Yeah. What a luxury that was back in 2010 with all those wide receivers. Really kind of tells you why, but part of the reason the Packers won a Super Bowl with that team. All right, Jared Aberderis, what do you think are the odds he makes the roster this season?
Well, and I hate to say that because I do like Jared Aberderis. You know, he was one of my favorite receivers coming into that draft. I actually got to interview him when I was interning with Packer Report out there. So that was nice to do. So I tend to root for that draft class more than any other because I actually got to know some of those guys. But, I mean, if you look at it, like I said earlier, Janis is a special teams ace. You got a hard time leaving him off the roster. They just drafted Trevor Davis, who we'll talk about here in a little bit. They've got Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb are locks. You figure Devontae Adams, you got a hard time letting him go. Ty Montgomery was a third-round draft choice. They're not letting him go. I just mentioned six guys. Seven wide receivers, that's a luxury more than it is an necessity. I really think that the Packers would be better suited to keep an extra linebacker or an extra defensive back as opposed to another wide receiver. So unless Aberderis kills it in camp and somebody gets hurt or doesn't perform well, I think that Jared Aberderis is going to be catching passes from somebody else next season.
Yeah, the numbers game doesn't look good. I mean, we'll see what he offers in training camp. Don't want to, you know, stick a fork in him yet. But, yeah, I know what you're saying. You alluded to Trevor Davis. Do you think Trevor Davis has a chance of seeing the field this season with so much depth ahead of him on the roster?
Oddly enough, one of the most recent stories I wrote for today's Pigskin was about finding a role for him in his first season because they selected him in the fifth round. I highly doubt that they want to cut him. And a guy with speed like Trevor Davis has doesn't make it to the practice squad. It doesn't happen because the old saying of you can't teach speed. So you're trying to find a role for him. As far as a receiver goes, if he can run and do some different things on the route tree, that's great. But I really think that the role for him, he's got some experience in the return game. Maybe the Packers want to save Jeff Janis and Ty Montgomery, two guys that returned kicks for him last year. Maybe they want to find a different role for Micah Hyde and he can return punts. I really think that the best chance for Trevor Davis to see a role on the field really is as a special teamer and notably as a return man because he does have some explosive ability in the return game. Micah Hyde does a lot of good things as a punt returner, but he doesn't really have that breakaway go speed anymore. And he never really had it that much to begin with. But he's a good punt returner, but he doesn't offer the breakaway type game, even though he did have a couple returns for a touchdown in 2014. But that's the role that I see for Trevor Davis early in his career. Maybe he can find his way in 2017, but 2016, it's looking like a special teams player.
Yeah, I wonder if he's the type of guy who's on the inactive list most weeks. I mean, those kind of things always depend on injuries and who's ever healthy tends to be it. But I guess we'll just wait and see with that one. Of the rest of the wide receivers on the roster, the training camp guys, which do you think has the best chance of sticking around, even if it's just on the practice squad?
Well, one of the names that jumped out to me right away was Geronimo Allison out of Illinois because I watched him play. You know, obviously we live in Big Ten country, so I do watch a lot of Big Ten football, and I live in Illinois, so it's kind of natural to pay attention to the home state team. But he's a big guy. He's got strong hands. It was shocking to me that this guy wasn't drafted. I really thought that this was a guy that you could take in the fifth or sixth round and be just fine with that. But big, strong hands, good at the point of the catch. He's just a little sloppy with a few things here or there, but I mean, the Packers haven't really had a power forward type, if you will, at wide receiver. Geronimo Allison gives them the potential to have that kind of flair in the future. So that's the guy that I like the most out of the undrafted types. The guy out of Illinois, big, strong hands, tall player, maybe a jump ball receiver, someone like Brandon Marshall. Not necessarily that he'll be like that when he gets his chance, but someone like that, someone that can give the Packers a little different dimension at the receiver position. So that's who I like, is Geronimo Allison.
Sounds good. Jacob, before we let you, just for fun here, let rank for me who's gonna lead the Packers in receptions this year and go down the line. So who's number one, two? And I think I know who your number one and number two are going to be. The interesting part comes like the 4, 5, 6. If you had to rank the wide receivers in terms of number of receptions this year, just for fun, what would it be?
Well, since we're doing receptions, I actually am going with a different number one. Number one is going to be Randall Cobb.
Okay.
I think a lot of the attention is going to go back to Jordy Nelson, which is going to open up things in the middle of the field for Randall Cobb. Mike McCarthy has discussed ad nauseum this offseason how he wants targets running through the middle of the field. That's what Randall Cobb makes his hay, is in the middle of the field. So I got Randall Cobb at one, Jordy Nelson at two, and like you said, this is where it gets interesting, 3, 4, 5, and maybe 6. Number three, I'm sticking with him. I've got Davante Adams as the third guy with receptions. I think that he's going to have a bounce-back year, look like the player that we thought we had in 2014 when he was making plays against the Seattle Seahawks. The Dallas Cowboys and the New England Patriots. Big games. Davante showed up big. I think he'll be a little more consistent this season. So there's my top three. Number four, I like Ty Montgomery. Like I said, I think they can use him in a variety of ways. And then number five is Jeff Janis. I think that he'll have a couple wow, splash-type plays. But again, I'm just skeptical as to how much he knows the offense. It was a steep learning curve for him. And then six in that case would be Trevor Davis. Like you said, Brian, I don't know how often he's going to be active, let alone on the field. So those are my five, top five, and then Trevor Davis in there as well. So Cobb, Nelson, Adams, Montgomery, Janis.
Sounds good. I'll hold that to you. And after the season, I'm going to bust this out. Not really. I'm not going to do that. But, no, it's fun just to do a little prediction. Thanks, Jacob, for joining us this morning. Greatly appreciate it. Keep up the good work at todayspigskin.com, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Brian. I appreciate it, and I'll see you soon.
All right. Take care. Jacob Westendorf of todayspigskin.com joining us here at Railbird Central. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers appeared on the HBO television series that is relatively new, Any Given Wednesday with Bill Simmons, and Rodgers touched on several topics like his desire to finish his career in Green Bay and looking forward to Brett Favre's enshrinement at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Nothing really out of the ordinary there. Some, you know, responses that you kind of predicted he would say. The one thing I did learn about Rodgers that I didn't know is that when he had his ACL repaired in college, he got an ACL from a cadaver. So that was kind of interesting, kind of joked about how the person he got it from was really fast. Just found that little tidbit interesting that I didn't know before. But maybe Rodgers' strongest opinion he shared on the show might have been on concussions, when he said the biggest obstacle is the players themselves, with so many sharing a desire to play through pain in general and head injuries in specific. And I certainly believe those sentiments. I think you're seeing maybe more players willingly come out of a game now if they don't feel right. You hear about those instances every once in a while, although not too often. I think it's good that there's doctors and spotters above looking for those type of things, looking for concussions. But until there's more medical or technological advancement, I'm not really sure what more the league can do to prevent concussions. To an extent, I think you do have to understand it's football, and concussions will probably always be a part of the game. Hopefully they're minimized as much as possible, and I think the NFL's trying to take a step in the right direction. We'll see here, if more players start to willingly come out of game, it's really a lot of it is in their hands. I mean, that Well, sometimes I think they are, mandated out by the doctor or the spotter, at least temporarily before being cleared to go back in. But yeah, just interesting opinion there. I thought that was kind of the most interesting part of the interview that I heard about. In other Aaron Rodgers news, he won the ESPY Award for Play of the Year. And he was in attendance at the award show on ABC, produced by ESPN, along with the receiver, tight end Richard Rodgers. I admittedly don't pay much attention to the ESPYs, although I guess I was a little surprised that maybe the NCAA basketball championship game with Villanova winning on a last second, three-pointer. Surprised that maybe that didn't win, but I'm not going to analyze a rather meaningless award any more than that. They already won NFL Play of the Year for the same play. I guess this is just between all sports here. So congratulations to Aaron Rodgers and Richard Rodgers for that, getting some national television attention just the other day. The day after the baseball All-Star game, which the ESPYs always follows. In other Packers-related news, the Hall of Fame ceremony in a couple weeks is going to have an even more of a green and gold feel to it than it already would be, with Brett Favre obviously being enshrined, and there's tons of attention on that. But we also learned, it was revealed just this week, that Packers defensive coordinator Dom Capers is going to present Kevin Green at the ceremony in Canton. Green, of course, was the Packers outside linebackers coach for several years, including the year they won Super Bowl XLV. As a player, he played under Dom Capers, and as a coach, they were colleagues on the Packers staff. So it's just nice to know there will be another Packers connection outside of Brett Favre. So kind of makes that day, that night fun when you're watching the enshrinement ceremony and there's that connection there. So there's that. Finally, also on Thursday, the NFL supplemental draft ended without the Packers or any other NFL team making a selection at all. So just wanted to give that update, seeing as we actually previewed the supplemental draft to an extent on our last episode. I did see that Purdue defensive lineman Rezon Howard was signed by the Houston Texans in the aftermath of the supplemental draft after going unsigned. But that's all I've heard so far. I haven't heard anything about the wide receiver from Canada that the Packers reportedly scouted. Simon East was his name. The Packers may feel they're in a okay at the position with all the depth we talked about earlier in the show at wide receiver. So maybe that's not something they pursue there, but rather minor. Regardless, the NFL supplemental draft, no picks at all. But that leads us to the next segment here.
The day ahead.
I don't have much on the Packers calendar, as it's kind of right now the calm before the storm with training camp a little over a week away. But there is this before. Traveling back to Green Bay for good for the season, Packers kicker Mason Crosby is in his native Texas right now. And this weekend, this Saturday, he's putting on a youth football camp at Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas, which is his hometown. This is an annual event he does every year. It's called Camp Crosby. Unfortunately, I did see registration was closed, and in case you happen to live in Texas and you had a child interested. But it is nice to see a Packers player giving back to his community here. And glad it gave me something to talk about here for this segment. In a time period, like I said, where everybody's laying low before training camp here, just a little over a week away. Because there will be plenty to talk about then. As for now, it's a little sparse. And just one more reminder here. The Packers Rookie Reporter Contest ends on Sunday, July 17th. If you happen to be interested in that and you have kids or something like that, you can head to the Packers official website, packers.com, for more information. Other than that, football's almost here. There's the annual shareholders meeting to talk about next week, and the Packers 5K run takes place, I believe, next Friday. And after that, it's the start of training camp, so not much longer to wait. That pretty much does it for today's episode, but we'll be back on Monday. We'll be previewing the quarterback position as we continue our position-by-position series. Our last episode, we did the running backs. Today's episode, we did the wide receivers. Monday, we're doing quarterbacks, so working our way through the roster. And already got our guest lined up, Andrew Mertig of PackersTalk.com, going to join us for the show on Monday. So looking forward to that. That'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening to us today. My call to action is always as usual. If you've not done so already, we'd greatly appreciate it if you gave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. The show's free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you do us a solid, go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up. Give us that 5-star rating and a brief little review. Doesn't have to be a novel by any means. So, but it helps get word out about the show, helps people find it. And that's my goal. I want people listening to this show and find out it's the best Packers podcast on the internet. Hey, we'll see you, folks. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back again on Monday. Until then, on behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Nothing Too Fancy by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you, everyone. Go Pack. Go.